rich history of doom metal and its sister sounds based on the recounted tales of its followers. Every week we will have a different guest to spin their yarn. You can follow us on Instagram at Diary of Doom, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Diary of Doom. You can follow the podcast over at diaryofdoom.podbean.com and subscribe and listen to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. If you have a question or want to pitch me something, you can fire off an email to diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. And this week we are talking with Greg March from False Gods. Thanks for coming on, Greg.
Yeah, brother. Thanks for having me, man.
So you put out a couple of songs, I believe last year. It was a 2-song EP, right?
Yes.
It was The Serpent and the Ladder, or did I get that reversed?
Nope, The Serpent and the Ladder.
So you're keeping busy, which is good, because I really dig your guys' sound, and it's good to find another band in the local scene. But kind of leading up to that, you know, what were your earliest experiences with music?
Like, as a kid?
Yeah, like, what were you listening to growing up?
Probably, like, hair metal. Like Motley Crue and Kiss and shit like that. I mean, like, that's when I really got into, like, music, when I was, like, 10 or 11. So that was, like, 1990. Well, I'm older. I just turned 39, so, like, 1990, 1991, so all that kind of stuff. But probably those two bands in particular were, like, I was, like, obsessed with. You know, I wanted to fucking be in Motley Crue, you know. I had fucking every Kiss record ever, and I was just fanatical. And then that kind of just grew and grew from there. But those two bands, I would say, is that the start of, like, me getting into music.
Was that part of how you knew you wanted to be, like, a bigger part of the scene?
That's how I knew I wanted to be a musician.
Okay.
So, I play guitar in False Gods, but I'm like a drummer. So I studied percussion, I studied privately mostly, but I'm like a drummer more than I am like a guitar player. Guitar was just kind of like a hobby, and this is the first band I've ever played guitar in. So that's how I got into music. I wanted to be like fucking Tommy Lee, you know. I wanted to have like my drums spinning and shit, and that whole ridiculousness. I was like, this is for me. So that's where it really started.
Where did you grow up?
On Long Island.
Okay. So where were your, like, hangouts and whatnot in Long Island?
When I first started going to shows, I was probably 16, 17. I got a car when I was 7, so it's like 1998. So, Long Island is very, its biggest export as far as heavy music is hardcore. So we were, me and, you know, the rest of the band, we're all knee deep in hardcore, and that's kind of where I met Mike, the singer, in our local hardcore scene. So it's kind of like, there's this quote by Chick Corea saying, like, the music you were listening to at 16, like, kind of always, that's like, always sticks with you, and I kind of think that is very true with us, because we have, like, an underlying, even though we're, like, a sludge doom, whatever you want to call us, band, we still have like a little underlying of hardcore, and that's just being like from New York. It's everywhere. There's no escaping it, especially that time, late 90s, leading into the early 2000s. It was explosive. It was everywhere. I grew up in this town called Medford, so there's the Medford VFW, where a zillion shows would go on. There was Ground Zero, which was in Belmore. Deja One, which was in Westbury. There were so many fucking places. So many small DIY spots. I can't even remember. Places we, like, would hang. There was a place in Queens. This small place, it was called the Voodoo Lounge. It was in Bayside. It lasted for, like, a couple of years, but, like, we went there all the time, and I saw a bunch of shows. I played a bunch of shows there, and it was crazy. It didn't really last long, but that was a spot we played and hung out. And then, like, all the places in the city, like CB's, Wetlands, that are, you know, both places are gone. But all those spots, I mean, there were so many other spots. I can't remember, but it was, those are, like, the spots that stick out in my memory the most, as far as, like, places, like, my little bands would play and places we all hung out and things like that. So, you know, that point in time, Long Island was very happening, and we were, like, you know, so close to the city, and so there was always shit popping off. So we were busy.
Now, like, when did doom start to take, like, or rather, like, heavier rock music start to take, like, when did you start taking an interest in that? Was there, like, a specific record that kind of kicked you into it?
I don't know if, like, there was a specific record. Maybe Volume 4. There you go. That's, like, the generic answer, right?
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, at this point, it's like, yes, we all know Sabbath, you know?
I would probably say if there was, not a record, but there was a show that I went to very early on. It was Ohm, The Hidden Hand, and Unearthly Trance before they got signed to Relapse.
Oh, wow.
And it was in the Knitting Factory that's not in Brooklyn, though. It was in the city. And I think it was like 2003 or 2000. The latest would be 2004. And it was on that second Hidden Hand record. It was a Mother Teacher Destroyer. And that's when I was like, whoa, like seeing Wino for the first time. And I was still like playing drums and shit. I was like, oh, I want to, like, that just like blew my mind. This whole like vibe of just playing really slow and just all the spaces between the notes. And like, you could just be really, you know, just as heavy without making people mosh, and just like that whole vibe of just like playing really heavy and really slow and just having people like they can't move to it because it's just the music doesn't really move, so to speak. But just that whole feeling of just being really big riffs and just really loud and just like just you just immerse yourself into this big sound. So that was like the start of like, oh, okay. Like, you can do that, and it's kind of cool, and then and then it kind of just took off from there. So I would say that was the start of me getting interested and then into this kind of music, and then looking into, there was really no, like, doom metal scene in the early 2000s. There was a couple of bands, I guess, but there was really no scene locally. I don't really remember seeing any of that kind of thing happening, but that was really the first time. That was kind of like a turning point, that show, definitely.
It's not like now where there's like, you know, yeah. There's so many acts.
It's so many everything. It's not just like one movement of a genre. It's just everything is out. You know, I guess because of just the way everything is now with the internet and just everything is out there. It's just the market is just flooded with music and every different subgenres. It's all out there. So, but yeah, I guess getting back to it, that would probably be the first thing of like, you can be heavy in a totally different way and just like something like a, you know, something just clicked, and I was like, this is what I want to be a part of eventually, and then eventually figured it out, and here we are.
I think you guys in False Gods, I think you do a good job standing out, you know, against, like I said, against the really big scene, because I think you do a good job maintaining, like, kind of a groovier aspect to the band, kind of amidst all, like, the sludgy aspects. Was that always intentional?
It's really hard to say. There's no really, Not really. I mean, there's really nothing that's intentional. When we first put the band together, myself and Mike, we're in this project called Skeleton Dealer. It was more of like a heavy, stoner rock kind of vibe, kind of similar to False Gods, but different, more of like a heavy rock grunge vibe, but he would like kind of scream over it, kind of like Rollins Band almost. Okay. That kind of a vibe. But I brought up, like, you know, those Desert Fest concerts that they do in the UK and all over.
Yeah, now they do one here.
Yeah, that's right. It's coming. I was like, we should just be a band that's like that fest in one band. So it's just like an eclectic mix of just slow, you know what I mean? Then that could be anywhere from Godflesh to Yob to Neurosis to like all the NOLA stuff, Acid Bath and Crowbar and I Hate God to, you know, Sabbath and that kind of a thing. And then, you know, Mike has a background in hardcore, so that comes out too as well. So I don't know if it's really like intentional, like this part needs to like groove, or we have to, it's gonna make people move or mosh or whatever the fuck. It's just us being us. We come from hardcore, so it kind of, even though we're trying to like play slow and heavy, that part of us is always in there. So it's probably just there subconsciously, and it just comes out. That's just because that's what we know.
But it probably helps out kind of in creating that like sort of wall of noise effect that I get from you, because it is, especially on like Reports from Oblivion, it does sound bigger and more expansive. Like you're aiming for that kind of bigger atmosphere with like maybe some like post-metal, experimental metal aspects.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. There's this band called Skullflower that I had been into, and I was really trying to. They have this record, Third Gatekeeper. I was really trying to incorporate that. It's like, they're an instrumental band, but it's like big, heavy, slow, kind of that kind of vibe with a lot of fucking noise. I think Justin Broderick from Godflesh produced it, so it's, and it kind of has that, if you know that record, the second Godflesh record, Pure, it kind of has that vibe of like big, heavy, loud noise. And so that's what I was kind of trying to go for with that release, just kind of getting away from the Sabbath-y kind of stuff on Wasteland and just trying to expand the sound as much as possible. And that's kind of what we try to do with every release. Like, we have to push it further. We have to do something different. We can't just, you know, we can't repeat the same old bullshit. We get bored easily.
Right. And like I said, there's a distinction between it and Wasteland, which Wasteland to me was pretty brutal and sludgy as fuck, and it had kind of that I Hate God abrasive nature to it, and a little bit of grindcore in there. You know, is that kind of a good description of the record?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely where we were at. I wanted to make it very, very hardcore, very like Black Flag meets Black Sabbath kind of a vibe. So that's definitely what I was trying to do. That's why it has that vibe. I was definitely listening to lots of punk rock, you know, Black Flag, obviously, a lot of Amoebix. So I wanted to have that kind of heavy, slow punk rock vibe.
Now, did you form the band in New York?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So you're like, because I know you have a couple of guys that are spread out, you know, kind of over within the local area and whatnot, but it's always been like a New York band.
Always, yeah. I live on the border of Brooklyn and Queens. I live in Ridgewood now, and everyone else is It's all over Long Island and Nassau and Suffolk County. But it was always, yeah, it was always dudes in New York. We're very much a New York band. That's very, I feel like that's part of the way we stand out. We don't, you know, when we go to, like, we played the Maryland Doomfest, and we've played a couple times in Maryland before, and we look like dudes from New York. You know, we sound like dudes from New York. Like, we're very much, especially in the scene. I'm every time we play out of state with other bands, I it's like you could just fucking smell it. It's like, yeah, these dudes are fucking boy too. So it's cool. It's cool. We have a very New York vibe, which is kind of like, which is cool. I think that New York really isn't known for this kind of a music at all. But I'm not trying to sound like a band from the South. That's kind of why I needed to start to get away from, like, the bluesier sort of stuff. There's bands that are from the East Coast that try to sound like bands from the South, and I just think that sounds silly. You know, you just need to figure out a way to be yourself and not try to emulate what's going on in a different scene. You know, I'm not trying to sound like I'm fucking from, you know, Kentucky or whatever, or Louisiana. I'm from, you know, I'm from New York. That's how I want to be. And I like music that kind of has, like, that is like territorial sounds, you know, like hip hop, LA, West Coast hip hop has a certain sound. East Coast hip hop has a certain sound. You know, the South has a certain sound. I would love that to, like, translate to, like, what we do. Like, this area of the country has a certain vibe, you know. You know, this kind of metal isn't really represented in New York, so I would like to be, that's what I'm trying to do.
Give it that New York
brand.
But
we are. But, like, that New York brand of, like, sludge or whatever. And there's not really anything like that. So I'm not saying we're reinventing the wheel or we're pioneers or whatever, but I'm just trying to tell you what I'm trying to do.
I hear you, and it's definitely appreciated. So as a lifelong New Yorker, what's like your biggest pet peeve when you're dealing with, like, out of state drivers?
When I'm dealing with out of state drivers?
Yeah, when you have to travel out of state.
Just driving with them, behind them.
What's the worst state to drive in?
What's the worst state to drive in? Wow, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't really like driving. All of them. And I drive a lot. I commute, so I would have to say all of them, because driving is a fucking pain in the ass. But, you know, when we do these tours, like, when we do, we basically go out to rural areas. So it's just, like, a lot of, it's for me at least, because I'm constantly driving, you know, in the outer boroughs in the city. Like, it's a relief, like, open roads and seeing cows and farms and shit. It's like, it's nice. It's like an easy drive, like big highways, I-95. You know, it's great, as opposed to, like, gridlock and people trying to fucking kill you, and it's like Mad Max, you know, sometimes coming out here. It's crazy.
It's wild, man. I drive in, my girlfriend lives in Brooklyn, and just driving in and out of the city, you see some crazy shit, man.
Yeah, it's like Fast and Furious.
And I'm from New Jersey, where we are purportedly the worst drivers in the world, so...
I guess so. I mean, I never had a problem.
Well, you're the first. So you mentioned that you did, like, Maryland Doom Fest, and you've played a few other festivals now. Do you have any, like, bucket list tours that you want to do or get on something?
I have so many. I want to go to Europe. I want to do, like, a festival run. I would like to play a desert fest, either here or there or anywhere. as far as like bands like to tour with, I would just like, I have no idea. Probably just like Godflesh, because that's like my favorite band. That's really about it. I'm just down to tour with anybody and everybody. There's no like, at this point in the game, there's no like, I only want to do this or that, and we're down to do anything that in and out of like our subgenre.
Right, right. It's funny that you mentioned Godflesh, because they're a band that a lot of people I talk to who are big like doom metal fans really like too. But they're not really like a doom metal band. They're kind of like an experimental, like it's not really electronic music, but there's definitely like a strong electronic aspect to it. Like I actually haven't really given them like a lot of time of day to see what they're about. So, like, what's the appeal of Godflesh to you?
Their songs are great. but you know what? They have a lot in common with the genre because they play very slow. They were just way ahead of their time. You know, Street Cleaner came out, what, 89, 90? Drum Machine Metal, you know, at the height of, like, all that death, you know, all the so it's 1990, so death metal and all that kind of stuff was really hot, and thrash obviously being extremely big, and they come out playing like at 50 BPMs, just playing. They were like one of the first metal bands I would say that is like that was heavily influenced by like Swans, and they were you can kind of call them industrial, but you know, like goth girls could not dance to Godflesh. You know what I mean? It's not like that kind of vibe. It's like they have a drum machine, not because they're trying to make you dance, just because they're just trying to be cold and calculated. It's just, then they have a lot of post-punk influences as well as kind of having like a underlying like Sabbath vibe at times. And they're heavily influenced by Killing Joke, which is one of my favorite bands too.
I love Killing Joke.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're one of the best. We are very much into Killing Joke too, big time. So, I love Godflesh, and then a lot of his influences are like my influence as well. So that's probably why they're like my favorite band.
Cool.
And they're totally weird. It's totally like you can't put them in any type of category. I mean, what are they? I don't know. They're like industrial, okay, sort of. But you can't really like, you know, they're not getting played at the Batcave, you know. they're slow, but would you call them doom? No. Like, what would you call them? I don't know.
We just call it like an experimental band.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's a hybrid of many different styles. But they were the best.
And obviously Killing Joke is amazing too. I've seen them like, I think I've seen them like 5 times now or something. And,
oh, that's awesome.
They're all at the same place too, all at Irving Plaza, weirdly enough. And every show has been like great for its own reasons. They're consistently so good.
I just saw them in the city. Where's that club? La Poison Rouge or something?
Yeah, I think they did a show there.
Yeah, they did 2 shows there, and they were great. They were awesome. They were great. I was happy. I didn't see them open for Tool, but they just keep on getting. But and they make like records that are great and relevant.
Yeah,
you know that last record they put out is fucking incredible. They're like kind of getting heavier too.
Yeah, that last record was definitely a little bit more metal.
Yeah, that's what I love. That's what I love about them. They keep putting out like relevant music, not just let's make the record so we can just tour and you know, just sleep through it. No, they're firing on all cylinders. They're great.
So you love Godflesh and you love Killing Joke, but like, what are you listening to right now that you would that you're really digging?
That's a good question. I don't know. What am I listening to now? I'm listening. You know, I'll just go over the last couple records I bought recently. It's nothing new. I don't really listen to new music. The other dudes in the band know more about like what's hip and current and especially in like heavy music world. I'm not really into like, I don't really listen to a lot of heavy music. I got Big Black, songs about fucking.
Big Black is great.
That's a classic. I just saw Today's the Day. They were incredible. Steve Austin's a fucking maniac. So I picked up Willpower at that show, actually. Listening to that, it's great. I forgot how much music they have. It's incredible. You know what I've been listening to a lot? David Bowie's Low.
It's like
the first record from that Berlin trilogy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's
brilliant.
Incredible. I have it on vinyl. It's the best shit ever. He's great. I was not like a big Bowie guy when I was a kid, but as I got older, little by little, I got more into Bowie. And now that he's died, I try to like check out more stuff in that era. You know, when he was hanging with like Brian Eno and Robert Fripp and shit like that. So I like that a lot.
Doing coke and eating hot peppers.
Yeah. Him and Iggy Pop trying to kick heroin in the heroin capital of the world. So, but they made great music. But Bowie wrote all the music to Iggy Pop's The Idiot, produced it, and Lust for Life, well, majority of it, and writing all those records. I mean, like, within like a couple of years or a year or two, he was so prolific. And it's just like, in that short period of time, producing all that music, it's just like, it's mind-boggling. Old stuff. I've been listening to Bjork's Post. And then I think the Massive Attacks Protection. That's pretty much it, I would say. The last couple of records I've been like, oh, the last Swans record I've been really into. I like that a lot. That was really good.
We just talked with Dana from Insect Arc, and she's actually going out on tour with Swans this year. It's pretty cool.
Wow. Holy shit. That's crazy. That's amazing. Good for them.
Yeah. So, last point, you were talking about this another band, actually, that I'm not super familiar with is Today is a Day, but I understand that they're sort of like an underground favorite. Part of this show for me is learning about bands and kind of making sure that I'm on top of everything, and I definitely have slept on this band, so what's their deal?
What's their deal?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with Steve Austin as a musician.
Oh, he's a maniac. He's super influential. He's a big, like, I don't even know where to start. What's that record, In the Arms of God? The two dudes from the Mastodon, very much influenced by Today's the Day. Very chaotic. Sometimes, and very, they're kind of like progressive, very noisy. Very dissonant, very abrasive. It was like them and the Obsessed. I just saw them. It was great. So, yeah, absolutely check them out. I as far as the starting point, it's really hard for me to say. Temple of the Morning Star, probably that's their big one. But they're all great, and they're all insane. He's a lunatic. You'll love it.
I'm definitely going to check it out, and you just put out the new record too, so I'll have to check that one out as well.
Yeah, he played a lot of that. He played a lot of that too. It was great. I liked the new. I haven't heard a lot of it, but what he played live, I dug. And his band's great. His band was like, he had like some like almost jazz fusion drummer playing and like grinding, and it was awesome. It's good like to see old dudes still fun. That's true, especially when you get older. I'm like 39 now. Sometimes I'm like, I need to stop doing this shit. And then like I see Wino and this guy, you know, just fucking killing it. I'm like, you know, it's good. It's inspiring. There's still hope left.
Well, that's good. So now for 2020, like, what's on the horizon for False Gods?
So we just finished recording our first full length. It's just about finished. getting mastered. So that should be out. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen as far as a release. I don't know if we're going to self-release it or if we're going to try to shop it. But we just finished the record. It's done being mastered. We just filmed a video, a couple of videos, live videos, for the record. So those will be out in like a month or two. So we're busy. We're very busy. We're just trying to figure out the attack of 2020 and where we're going to go and what we're going to do, what direction we're going to take. But we're full steam ahead. We got a bunch of other stuff lining up, some surprises that I can't tell you about, but it's going to be good. It's going to be probably our most active year, and we're all fucking excited. We can't wait to release this record and see where it goes.
Cool. Well, everybody out there, definitely keep your eyes on False Gods and what they're going to be doing this year, staying busy and active. Where can they find you on the interwebs?
We're on the Instagram at False Gods. We have a Bandcamp, all types of social media. You name it, we're on it. Twitter, False Gods 2 or something. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Tumblr. We're not on Tumblr. anywhere. Spotify.
Got you here. FalseGods1.bandcamp.com.
Oh, there we go. Yep, there it is.
You can go head over there, find all their music, buy their music, pick up their merch, find out what's going on. That's where you gotta go do that.
Anywhere and everywhere you can consume music, we should be there.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Greg, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. And talking about False Gods. I'm really excited to see what you guys do for the remainder of the year.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, man. And that will be this chapter of the diary.